Yeah. We were at the adoption here in Ferana a few weeks ago, and something happened that God stirred my heart with. We had a judge there. And that judge got done with his proceedings, and he hit that gavel. He said, "This is my ruling." And then he said, "Before you leave, though, I want to come down there where you're at." The Holy Ghost said, "That's what I did." He said, "I want to come down there and get where you at and take a picture of you and your baby." Lord said, "That's what Jesus did." Said, "He let the gavel fall on you." Then he said, "I'm going to come down there and become who you are. Die in your place." He was the judge, but thank God he was the one. Hey, he was the one that could pay the price. Amen. I bless his good name tonight. The Lord knows this ain't the, all you preachers, I wish you were here instead of me. Because I'm enjoying this, but I don't want to kill anything. And I appreciate the opportunity. I seen Brother Dwayne, Miss Karen, and we grew up with, around them. And remember Miss Charity was a baby and born, Brother Jake and Miss Phyllis, and we loved them so much. And I started leaning on Miss Deanne. I said, "We might ought to join that too," but I didn't do that. This has kind of become a home away from home. Your preacher's kind of become a, he is. He's probably next to my own father that's in heaven. He's probably become more like a daddy to me than he'll ever realize. And not only because he's getting old, but because he's... Amen. Didn't y'all say amen right there on that one? Because y'all got to live with him, amen. But he has become my friend, my confidant. God has a way of putting people in your life. And when you need them the most, God did something for me on a golf course with him. Me and him had church on a golf course together a couple years ago, and God just did some things in our heart. Brother Jason, God did something for me and you on a golf course last year together. Kind of knitted our hearts together, Brother Allen and Brother Matthew. I just appreciate this church. You'll never know. Boy, when you need just a good drink of water, I told Deanna, I said, "If we could just get down to Liberty a little while." It's just kind of testimony you got. Hey, I love my people. I love my church. But when you just need to get a little oasis, you just know God's here when you pull up. And I appreciate that about you. Appreciate that about this church and mine and God. I told the preacher this yesterday, the day before. I said, "Brother Ken," I said, "I don't know everything." I said, "But what you see here," I said, you see people who's got the vision that God's given the man of God. You got it. A lot of places ain't getting it. They can't see it. But you folks can see it. And boy, you ought to cherish that. And like our brother said this morning, don't pride in it. Just thank God for it. And I appreciate his goodness. Luke chapter 19 this evening, Luke 19. We're just going to give you a thought in our heart. I hope it'll help somebody. And hope God will speak to your heart tonight. I appreciate all you what the kids did for us this morning and helped us. And thank you so much. You pray for our family these next couple of weeks. We're dealing with some things with these adoptions. And I just appreciate all the encouraging words. The Bible said in verse 1, Luke 19, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little stature. And he ran before him and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place..." Well, I'm glad we all got a place. Amen. Amen. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you got a place. Hey, you say, I can't remember the time. No, but you know where the place was. Amen. You know where Jesus moved in at. Amen. You know where salvation came. You knew where grace moved in at. Hey, you may not even know the date, honey, but you know the place today where Jesus changed your life. He said right here, he said, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Thank God for that. Amen. Boy, that's where I was at. I was a sinner. Amen. I was a sinner. And the Lord came to become my guest. Thank God that he said, you can move in with me. Amen. Become my family. I'm glad that the Bible said, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, would you bless the reading of your word? Would you touch us now? Thank you, God, for what we've already felt, God. Thank you for what we've already sensed you moving. And would you just a few minutes give us just a little bit of liberty, God, to help us right now. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. No doubt here, we a lot of times focus on the stature of Zacchaeus, and no doubt he was a wee little man, as the children would learn in the Sunday school songs. But I'm not so much interested in the man of Zacchaeus as I am what happened to Zacchaeus. And I'm going to go to maybe two or three other different places tonight and just give you the thought before we go there. And maybe it'll help you as we walk through. But I just want to say I'm glad for the day the Lord called my name. I'm glad I've got a day when the Lord called my name. Thank God, hey, I'm glad I've got a mama that knows how to call my name. Thank God, I'm glad I got a wife. Hey, I like it when she calls me baby. And I like it when she calls me honey. I've got two little babies back there now. One of them just an infant, but the other one's starting to speak. I never knew what it was. Can I tell you to hear somebody call you daddy? But boy, the first time she ever looked at me and she said daddy, boy, it did something in my heart. I mean, it did something when that little baby back there called me daddy for the first time. But can I tell you, thank God for all of those moments. But there's never been a voice like the voice of the Lord. Hey, there's never been a call like the call of Jesus. There's never been one that spoke to my heart. And there's never been one that spoke to your heart like the Lord did. Amen. I'll give you just about three or four things tonight. But I want to say, first of all, I'm glad that He called me in salvation. I thank God, hey, if you ever going to get saved, He's going to call your name. Amen. Hey, you're not going to get up tomorrow and say, you know what? I think I'm going to decide to be a Christian. Honey, it don't work like that. Hey, there'll be conviction, and He'll begin to call you and to woo you and to draw you to a place called Calvary. He'll call you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He'll call you out of death into life. Hey, you say, preacher, why ain't anybody getting saved today? You know why ain't nobody getting saved? It's because they're dead. Hey, they're dead. You bring a dead man down here tonight, he ain't going to do nothing but lay there. But can I tell you, I'm glad Jesus can speak to the dead and even raise the dead. You who were dead in trespasses and sins. Me who was dead in trespasses and sins. Thank God for the day that He called me in salvation. I can take you to the place where He spoke to my heart. I can take you to the place where God summed it up. And I'm glad I got a day where God called me into salvation. These young'uns need to know that. And I know they do know that. But can I tell you, I'm glad for the day that He called and spoke. Ain't there ain't never been a day like that day. Amen. They ain't never been a day since today. Hey, I know we can get tired and we can get weary and we can get, hey, this journey gets hard. But honey, if you'll just let the Holy Ghost take you back just a little while, you was on your way to hell. Hey, you was almost there. But thank God the Lord Jesus rescued you, called you out of sin, put you in the family of God. Thank God tonight He knows how to call our name. I was a preacher's kid. You might have been a drunk. It didn't matter. We all needed to be called out. Amen. You might have been on a bar stool. I was in a church pew. We all needed to be called out tonight. I thank God today for the way that He called. Can I say this real quickly? Stop here. When He calls you, He will change you. Amen. Hey, this little old wimpy salvation we got today that says that you can just get saved and live like you want to, that's hogwash today. Amen. Amen. Hey, if grace ever moves in, it'll be so big, honey, it'll begin to change you on the inside out. Hey, it'll begin to work on the inside. I didn't say you wasn't sin. Oh, but honey, there's a different gauge on the inside. Amen. The Holy Ghost that moves in when He changes you and saves you. Thank God not only does it change you, but I'm glad today that you realize He cared for you when He called you. Boy, the world, if they was calling us, they'd get us to the doorway of hell and leave us there. Amen. That's what my friends did. Amen. My lost friends, they wanted to get me to the door of darkness and just leave me there. I'll never forget, and I lied to my mom and daddy before I got saved. And youngest, you better not lie to your mom and daddy. I lied to my mom and daddy. And I remember when I was, right before I got saved, just about 4 or 5 months before I got saved, I told my daddy I was going to church with one of my friends on Sunday night, and I lied to him. We went over with one of my friends and went swimming in a swimming pool, and I got over there and got in a fight with one of them. And they left me. Left me somewhere, didn't know where I was. So I had to go call my daddy. I didn't have no car. I didn't have no money. I didn't know nobody. Didn't nobody know me. And I'm going to tell you something, I couldn't run home. I was too fat. Amen. So I had to call my daddy. And I remember my daddy pulling up. And I remember the scolding I got. I remember, but listen to me. I remember my daddy as he brought me in the house. And yes, sir, he tore my hide up at 16, 17 year old. Amen. We got whoopings where I lived. Amen. Amen. You lived under his house. Amen. You lived under his rules. He paid the bills. He threw the discipline down. Amen. Amen. I remember one day I told my mom asked me something. I was done grown driving a car living in their house. They was paying the bills. And she said, you better go do something. I went and did it, walked back. I said, you satisfied? I picked myself up off the ground about 20 seconds later. My mama got a right hook Mike Tyson don't want to feel, honey. Picked me up. But I remember my daddy, he loved on me. And he cared for me, but I've never had a care like the day Jesus called me out of darkness when He saved me by His grace. I want to say that this voice today, thank God that He calls us into salvation. Can I just real quick, if you don't mind, John chapter number 20, would you just flip over with me? You know where I'm going. I'm not giving you nothing new tonight. I just want to give you what's on my heart. John chapter 20, verse number 11. Could we look at this maybe one more place where He speaks to us tonight? And then we'll move on. Look with me just real quickly in verse number 11. The Bible said, you know the story, the Lord is, He's been crucified and they laid Him in the grave. The Bible said in verse number 11, chapter 20 of John, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him. Now can I stop here in just a moment and just say, if me and you was down at the graveyard, and two angels showed up, I believe it would stir me a little bit more than it stirred Mary. I am scared of everything. Can I get a witness right there? Snakes, spiders, my own shadow, amen. Hey, I couldn't walk in this place with the lights off without some help. Amen. I wouldn't want to do it. Brother Jason, I wouldn't want to do it. If Brother Ken said, will you go over there and not turn the lights off and go across the building, I'd rebuke him in the name of the Lord. I would not do it. I'm scared, preacher. I don't like it. I don't like staying in motels where the door faces the parking lot. Amen. I'm scared. So I let Miss Deanne take care of all the business that makes up for it. I put chairs under my door. You may not do that. That's okay. I got four doors in my house. Every one of them got a chair up under. I'd just say it. You say, what are you going to do if a burglar breaks in? I ain't going to run. Huh? That ain't going to work. But I'm scared of things. But if me and you was in the graveyard, two angels showed up, we'd get a little more fearful of what Mary got. But can I tell you, that's where Mary's heart was. Can you imagine being so distraught tonight? They took your Lord, your very life, the very one that you'd ridden to give your life, the very one that saved you, the very one that's changed your life. They said he was going to be at the tomb, and you done went and looked in, he wasn't there. And two angels done asked you, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? And it don't even affect you. She begins to weep even more and begin to weep even more and weep even more and weep even more and cry. She's so distraught. And someone walks up behind her and asks her who she's seeking. And she, the Bible said, thinking him to be the gardener. She said, you tell me where you took him and where you're taking him. I'll go and get him. Bring him back. And all of a sudden, he says one word. Mary. And her whole countenance changes. Can I say, I'm glad he called us in salvation, but I'm glad he called us in consolation. There's some times when my soul is raging. There's some times, Brother Jason, when I don't have the answers and I don't, Mr. Manning, don't know what is even going on. But can I tell you, that is the time, even when I thank God for the brethren and I thank God for the people of God. It says, hey, God knows what's going on. Thank you for that. But it ain't, sometimes it don't help. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Sometimes it just don't get through. Hey, thank God for the man of God. Preaches with all his heart. But sometimes it just don't get through. It just don't pierce. And then all of a sudden, when your back's against the wall, you hear a still small voice calling your name. Hey, the one that saved you, the one that loves you, the one, he says, begins to call her name. He says, Mary. She says, Master. Oh, it all changed, Lord. He can speak comfort to our hearts. He can speak consolation when my soul's raging. Me and Miss Deanne come down the road. We was doing our devotion this morning, come to church. I hope you don't think that's bad of us. But she pulled out Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. We begin to read and pray and cry. And Brother Brady, 1 Peter 5:7, you said this a while ago, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Can I tell you what he's saying? He's saying, he, every time he calls your name, and can I tell you the Lord, the good Holy Ghost, he's quoting 1 Peter 5:7 in your heart that he cares for you if you'll just cast it all on him. When he calls my name, there's times, thank God I got a time. I'll be all right, sis. I got one time. I've been saved once. Hey, I didn't say he didn't call me when I was lost more than one time. But honey, when I got in, it was, that was the last time. Amen. Thank God once I'm in the hand of God, I ain't getting out of the hand of God. When I tell you, I've had him call my name more than one time. When my heart's broke. Miss Renee, when my soul's torn. When I don't know the answers. When I don't know where to go or what to go. He's slipped in. And he's, hey, when I've even heard the right words, I've even heard the right people say the right things. Brother Jake, it was when he said my name, it changed the whole situation. I'm telling you, night become day. Darkness become light. It changed the whole thing in my life. When he spoke to my name, he called me in consolation. You may be here tonight. And boy, everything that's went on, the good Spirit of God's moved. And you've sat there holding on to that grief or holding on to that burden or holding on to that broken heart. Can I tell you, maybe right now he's speaking to you and saying, won't you cast it on me? Won't you lay it on me? I care for you. I love you enough to save you. And I love you enough that I'll carry that burden. You see, tonight, He speaks to us in consolation. Am I the only one who gets discouraged? Can I say this? Am I the only one that's ever felt depression knocking on the door? Hello? Could we be honest and transparent tonight? I want to preach on the mind tonight. I want to preach on the mind is a terrible thing to waste. But it's just too sad. Because my mind is already wasted. And I need the power of God to help my mind. My mind will make me think things that ain't even there. My mind will make me discouraged when there ain't no reason to be discouraged. Hey, I'm not saying the devil ain't. The devil's involved and the devil's working. But honey, we got an enemy of the mind. My mind will run rapid. And can I tell you, when we get to a place where we're discouraged, can I tell you, your mind, when it begins, it's like throwing gasoline on a dry field. It'll begin to run and begin to flame and begin to run in the flame. And before you know it, the flames are already out of control. We need God to help us. But ain't it amazing how He can just speak our name? Speak our name. And I tell you, it's like the mind is calm. The heart's calm. Can I say quickly that not only am I glad He speaks my name in salvation, not only am I glad He speaks my name in consolation. The book of Luke, just keep your place here in chapter 21, but go back to the book of Luke one more time, chapter number 22. You know the story. I'm not telling you nothing you don't know tonight. Luke 22, verse number 31. You know the story here. The disciples have gathered together and the Lord is trying to help Peter here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Thank God He speaks to us in salvation. Thank God He calls our name in consolation. But there are going to be some times in our life, and young people, I want you to listen. There are going to be some days of declaration that He's going to call your name. There's going to be some days that He's trying to warn you of some things. There's going to be some choices that you're going to be faced with, married couples, and He's going to try to call your name to make you aware that you're fixing to walk down a road you ain't supposed to. He's trying to declare some truth and reality to you, and we better learn how to open our ears and listen. Young people, when you're getting ready to start walking down that road to find a mate, you better let God find them. You better let God speak to you who they are. Because, honey, you get the wrong one, you in a life of misery right there. Amen. Thank God, they some tough days even when you got the right one. Can I get a witness right there? I used to get upset at my young... Me and Miss Deanne been married. We've been married 14 years without children. Done what we want to. Done it when we want to. I mean, you get ready to go to the mountains, we just load her up and we gone, buddy. I want to go Bass Pro Shop, spend money, gone. Kids, nope, ain't got to worry about it. We wanted them. But we just thought that God, and then the Lord give us Anna. And then the Lord give us Will. And I used to get mad at my young couples. I'd stand back there at the door at 9:55 at Sunday school. And they're getting out of the car. A little boy got his shirt halfway out, one shoe on. Little girl got Fruit Loops in her hair all around. Hello? Daddy gets out, he got one black sock and one plaid sock on. I ain't going to touch the ladies. I just leave that alone. But I used to get mad. I used to think, bless God, they ought to get right with God. Get them youngins here on time. Then I got one. And I live by the church. And honey, I'm going to have to drive to church when I live beside it. So I can go 95. Get ready to go. Deanne said, I'm ready. She said, wait a minute, something done happened between her room and the door. I said, we got to go change clothes again, don't we? She said, yep, here we go. Go back, change clothes all over again. Hey, I'm just telling you, I thank God for you parents. Amen. And if you got to get them here in one shoe, I'm glad you're getting them here. Amen. I'm just saying, I respect you more today than I ever have. But I'm saying, listen, it was just me and Miss Deanne for years. I'm the priest of my home. I'm going to stand before God and give an account. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of responsibility, men, just to have to do that with a wife. But now I got two more. And I better make sure that when I'm getting ready to walk through this journey, that I've got my ear open to the declaring voice of God. I better make sure that when I'm ready to make life-changing decisions, realizing that it just ain't going to affect me, but it's going to affect Mama, and it's going to affect Junior, and it's going to affect Missy. Hey, I better realize that I better keep my heart open and my ears open, because if I don't hear God and I don't listen to His declaring voice and I make the wrong move in the will of God, I could plunge my whole family out of the touch of God and the presence of God for the rest of my life and theirs if I ain't careful. And my grandbabies. I'm just saying. He said, Simon, I'm trying to tell you something. You won't listen to me. You walk around here, won't cut everybody's ear off, want to be the superhero of the faith. And can I tell you, he's going to be the man of God here in the book of Acts. He is going to be the man God wanted him always to be. But right now, he's acting stupid. And he's acting ignorant. And he won't listen. There's times that I looked at my daddy and mama in their face, and I said, I'm going to tell you what, you don't know as much as you think you do. And I have found in these days calling our parents and saying, what in the world we do right here? You knew a lot more than I gave you credit for. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you give me some help? I found myself in my marriage having to call not only my parents, calling my in-laws. Saying, I need some help right here. We don't know what we're doing. I remember as a teenager, I remember those days. Yeah. You ain't got no bills right now. God help you. Yeah. Ain't got no bills, wearing all the nice clothes. Living in the graces of mom and daddy. Boy, ain't that nice. I wonder if we took a survey, how many of y'all would move back in with mom and dad if you had a chance right now? I would. But listen, there's going to be some deciding moments in your life. There's going to be some determining moments in every one of our lives. And we better listen to that declaring voice of God. And He speaks to our heart. I'm glad He can speak to my name in salvation. I'm glad tonight He can speak to my name in consolation. I'm glad, just like He spoke to Simon Peter in declaration. When there's danger. I never forget the story that I heard as a young preacher at Bible college about a young man up the road who had a very hard lifestyle, and God had saved him out of it. And God had actually called him to preach. And they said that he was in a church serving, and one of his old girlfriends from his past called him. And before that, he had gotten saved with a very, very, very ungodly lifestyle. And she said, why don't you come and meet me down here, and let's me and you have a good time one more night. He said, I don't do that anymore. He said, I'm saved by the grace of God. And he said, I hung up the phone. And he said, the Holy Ghost said, that's exactly what you better do. He said, the phone rang again. He picked it up. It was her again. He said, why don't you come on down here and let us have another good time, just for old time's sake. And he said, well, I don't know. She said, I tell you what, just a cup of coffee. Let's just reminisce. Holy Ghost said, don't go. He said, don't go. He said, well, I don't guess a cup of coffee would hurt. And he got in the car and he rode down to the local restaurant. And he got out and he poured a cup of coffee. And the whole time the Holy Ghost was saying, you better get up and leave. 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 Get gone. Leave. The longer he stayed, the harder it was to leave. The harder it was to leave. The harder it was to leave. I'm trying to be as safe as I can, preacher. But before midnight hit, that done got a motel room. 2 months later, that girl was never to be found. And he had to get a new job. And that 21-year-old saved preacher went to his doctor's office for a physical. And he walked out and he said, son, I don't know how to tell you this, but you got AIDS. You got AIDS. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost rested his heart and said, I tried to tell you. I tried to make you listen. Got an altar and repented of the action, and God will forgive. But listen, you better listen when the Holy Ghost speaks. You say, preacher, you trying to scare me. You better believe I'm trying to scare you. Because sin's real. Sin is nothing but death and destruction. And it'll kill anybody it touches. It has no leash. And when it's untamed, it's deadly. It'll kill anybody. It'll kill any marriage. It'll kill any home. Amen. It'll kill churches. It'll kill preachers. It'll kill moms and dads and teenagers. You better listen when the Lord calls your name and warns you to stay away. He can see the danger that you can't. He can see the other side of the sin that you can't. He can see the consequence. He can speak to our name tonight in declaration. John 21, and I'm going to close right here. John 21. For time's sake, you know the story. The disciples, if done went fishing. Peter done took off his clothes and went fishing. I don't understand all that, and I ain't even going to try to even mess with that right there. But the disciples said, we're going to go with you. You're going to go fishing, we're going to go with you. The Lord calls to them and he said, children, have you any meat? And of course, you know that they began to come on the seashore, and we could say a lot about that, but I'm really interested in getting down to where he tells them in verse number 13 that Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when that he had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? You see, Peter sinned. Peter denied the Lord. And Peter wasn't who he needed to be for God. And I'm glad that the Lord can speak to us in restoration. I'm glad the Lord can speak to us in consolation. I'm glad the Lord can speak to us in declaration. But listen, the Lord can speak in restoration. Can I ask the question right here? If we're not going to love our own when our own fall, who's going to love them? Hey, I'm not condoning sin. And I know where I stand with your preacher. Me and him on the same page. I'm not condoning sin. But I'm going to ask you something. If we're not going to love those that fall in battle, if we're not going to help those when they mess up, who is? I am one, so I can say this. I thank God for my close preacher friends. But we are living in a day, preachers, you better be careful what preacher you talk to. You better be careful who you associate with. Because you can get your throat cut. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, church. You better thank God you've got a preacher today that loves sinners. Amen. You better thank God you got a preacher, can I tell you, that loves them just the way they are. Because Jesus loves them just the way they are. And you know what? He loved me and you just like we are. I tell you what, let's do tonight. If y'all would love to, preacher, I know you're not into video screens, but we could bring a video screen in here tonight. I'd like to take just a sample of everybody's past and just put about 5 minutes. Who would like to step up first? Would anybody like to step up, huh? Would anybody like to? I tell you what, you pick your most vilest sin you ever committed, and let's stand up and testify about that a little while. Your most gut-wrenching mistake you ever made, let's share it, honey. Put it on the table. Don't nobody want to do that. You know why? Because you say, oh, it's under the blood. Well, can I tell you something? If my sin's under the blood and your sin's under the blood, that fellow, that lady that falls out there, why can't they sin get up under the blood? Hey, if the blood will save them all, the blood will forgive us all. Amen. We all in the same boat. Amen. I'm just saying. He's always been, hey, if you knew me the way I know me, you wouldn't let me up here tonight. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God tonight, God should have kicked me out of here a long time ago. But Miss Patsy, that song y'all sing, small as I am, that He picks me up and He wipes me clean and He puts me on my feet again and lets me just keep going for God. Hey, I'm saying tonight, He knows how to speak restoration. He said, Peter, He said, you love three times. He said, you love me more than you love these. This whole time I've been walking with you, Peter, I'm trying to get you to see that I want you to love me more than all of these. More than your fishing rods and your fishing nets. More than your boats and more than your lie. Do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I do. He told him one thing. He said, then go feed my sheep. Average Baptist preacher would have never let Peter step in the pulpit. But the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost looked around and said, Lord, who you want? He said, I think I'm going to get that old gut-wrenching fisherman that cussed me. I think mic him up, honey. Mic him up. Hey, man. Peter done got right with God, done full of the Holy Ghost. Bible said he stepped out and began to preach full of the Holy Ghost. 3,000 plus got saved. I'd like him to run a meeting, wouldn't y'all? Amen. We wouldn't like Abraham up and past 75. Mm-mm. Abraham come out of a land called the Ur of the Chaldees. You know what they did? They worshiped the moon god. Abram worshiped the moon god. Mm-hmm. That's about like Alabama folks worshiping Tide football. They're going to kill everything. I don't know where I went right there. I chased a rabbit, preacher. Sorry. I'm back in Georgia. I'm feeling the black and red run sweet. But Abraham, 75-year-old, God said, Abraham, I'm going to do something with you now. 75 years, none of us had nothing to do with Abraham. Worship the moon gods? Let me go ahead and take a little step further. We wouldn't have nothing to do with a lady called Ruth. Come out of a place called Moab. You wouldn't want to go there. Mm-mm. It's a lot worse than New Orleans. Yeah. Yeah. But can I tell you something? God give a little old Naomi enough wisdom about him. So tell her to go down there in Boaz's field and clean a little bit. You come over the New Testament, you get to read the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ right in the midst of it. You find a little lady by the name of Ruth? Wait a minute. Whoa. We weren't supposed to have... No, you weren't supposed to have nothing to do with Ruth. And you weren't supposed to have nothing to do with Abraham. And me and you weren't supposed to have nothing to do with Peter. But the Lord said, you know what? I see something in my blood. I see something I can salvage. I see something I can restore. And I can make them vessels for my honor. So I tell you what, after everybody gets done with them and throws them away, the Lord said, I'll take them. Can we bring her down to 2012? Me and you in that same category. And there's been time after time after time after time after time after time that he's had to speak to me and say, all right, I want you to get right. You messed up. Get the fall at my feet. And I fell at his feet with a broken heart and said, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And he got me up and he cleaned me up and he put me back serving him. Because he knows how to speak restoration to our hearts. There may be some folks out yonder tonight. The rest of this county is saying, you know what? Don't even mess with them. Can I tell you, that's the prime candidates Jesus may want. Is them ones where nobody else won't. Because he knows how to get them in. This evening as we close, whoever you need to get preached, if you need to get to the piano real quick. You may be here tonight and you've sat through the good singing of the Rochesters and you've sat, Lord, the good singing of Miss Patsy and them, and the good Holy Ghost has squeezed your heart and said, you know what? I want to save you. I want to save you. I want you to be part of my family. I want to forgive you of your sin. I want to clean your life up and do something with you. Can I tell you, if he spoke to you, I'd find myself around this altar tonight. Listen, they's some moms and dads and they's some families and they's some folks that need God to speak some comfort to you tonight. You need Him to speak that voice of consolation and say, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm here for you. Cast it all on me. Let me carry. Some of you may be the Lord's declared some things to you. You might ought to say, Lord, thank you tonight. You know how, can I stop here and say, a great way for the declaring voice of God to work. You know how it is? Through the man of God. You know what I'm talking about? It's those days that you come in here and the preacher, can I tell you, gets in your pea patch and he said, and you say, how did he know that? You know how he knew that? The Holy Ghost knew it. And he gave it to him to preach it, didn't know what was going on. But he declared truth to you. He may have declared some things. There may be somebody in here, you've been away from the Lord. You've been saved, you know without a doubt. You know He's telling you to come home. Come home. There may be some loved ones out there that you want to see God restore that's out there, been hurt. Boy, ain't it sad that we're dealing with so many people that's been hurt in church? But can I tell you, God can get to them too. Can I tell you, He's an all-powerful God, but He can speak to anybody He chooses tonight. Is He calling your name tonight? As they play, as we stand together, if you need to come, these altars are open. You mind the Lord tonight, whatever God's spoke for you to do. Thank you.